Mate, I spoke to Dom this morning.
And he hasn't even arrived yet.
D-O-B-B-O, D-O-B-B-O, Dombo, what's his name? Yeah.
You know what's going to really kill world rugby is the more expressive and expansive we come with our backs. And guys, we need to go back to kicking and scrum.
More scrubs.
You can't have a back three anymore that attacks. You can't have a midfield that knows what they're doing. Zells, we are going to spare you the embarrassment for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. We're going to talk about the Bulls first. The Bulls are in Edinburgh.
Never heard of them.
Not in Glasgow. To play Glasgow in the semi-finals, United Rugby Championship. They're playing at Big Murrayfield because it takes 60-odd thousand. It doesn't take 8,000. It's on grass. It suits us. Go the Bulls. I've got them to win by 10.
Yes. Mate, I think the Bulls can do it. I'm going to tip the Bulls to do it. I think that this move to the grass, we spoke about it earlier in the week, is exactly what the Bulls needed to hear and probably the worst news for Glasgow. It is a bit weird, isn't it? Moving from your hometown to play in another town on a different surface when you get to the semi-finals of a competition. It's bad news for Glasgow.
Well, it's like the Stormers play at Hartley Vale on Astro in front of 6,000 people and no one can beat them. And when they host a final, they either go to DHL Stadium or Athlone Stadium on grass because they can get more people in and then they can't play.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Right, so the Bulls have won. Stormers.
The game of rugby was not meant to be played on a carpet. It was meant to be played on grass.
Indeed.
And it was meant to be played outdoors with no roofs over, etc., etc. I do have the Bulls to win, not because I want them to win or I think they can. I believe they will win.
Me too.
Because they're good enough to win. They're the form team in this tournament. There's 13 Springboks that they pick in their starting 50. Not all of them current Springboks. The mentality has changed with Johan Ackerman at the helm. Neil de Bruin has been an asset. Ken Simba's there. They've got things right in their coaching structures. The big players are standing up time when you need them most. We look at the General Pollard at 10.
Yep.
Ambrose Papier has been outstanding as a halfback combination with Pollard. The veteran, the wily old fox, Willy the Lithru, 403 games now professionally. He's been outstanding. Kano Moody's been good between 13 and 14. Stravino Jakes was great to see him back scoring some tries.
Yep.
And then you look, the tight five's never been the issue. It's been the makeup of the back row. Cam Hunnicombe, he's been back for the last 2 months, been playing outstanding. Marcel Kutsir, we know what he gives you. Tough as they come. And then Aurich Lowe, he has been one of the form guys in the last month, I would say. The Sheriff Shane are some of the best form that made him a Springbok a couple of years ago. So all round, they've got a side capable of going there. They go there with belief, I do believe, not with hope.
Indeed, mate. And they go there with a lot of bully beef. Belief and bully beef, mate. They've got plenty of power in that team. They've got lots of speed. I saw you admiring my new Macron top, mate.
It is magnificent.
It is magnificent.
And we're wearing blue. We're wearing blue.
For both teams,
for
mate.
Both teams.
For all four teams. Whoever wins, we win.
Eddie Navier can say to Africa below.
I see you got a bit of green on underneath there, mate.
Yeah, just
keeping the box close.
Yeah, it's not Ireland. It's South Africa green, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, and interesting enough, Azels, all four coaches are South Africans.
Of course.
As it is, and three of the captains are South Africans. It's just great.
What would world rugby do without us, mate?
They would be very bored without us.
Yeah.
Because they're trying everything to kind of stifle us. Eh?
Yeah.
You know what's going to really kill world rugby is the more expressive and expansive we come with our backs. And guys, we need to go back to kicking and scrum.
More scrubs.
You can't have a back three anymore that attacks. You can't have a midfield that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still doesn't work. We go back and we play again.
Any way you like it, mate, we'll take it.
So, no, Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls have got too much power, I think, for Glasgow at this stage of the season. I feel like Glasgow's had some question marks raised in the last season or two. Obviously a championship side, obviously some fantastic players there and real contenders, not there by mistake. But when a team has to move a venue for a semi-final and their home pitch is a key factor in their success rate at home, you've got to think that kind of tips the scales. The Bulls have scored the most tries in the URC this season, but a ferocious pack of forwards. They've got tons of experience in key decision-making positions. They've got some of the most formed players. We'll get to the Elite 15 shortly. There's some Bulls in there. So I'm not saying it's going to be an overwhelming Bulls victory by 50 points, although that would be nice. But Glasgow are, according to the bookies, 5-point favourites. I think they've got that wrong by 10 points. I'm giving it to the Bulls by 5.
I would say if they were playing at Scotstown, where you know you either play with the wind or against the wind, their carpets are leveler. They're a hard side to beat there. They haven't proved as inspiring on the grass. We saw what happened at Ellis Park. I know it was their B team there, they 54-12. Played their best team at the DHL Stadium, probably the best performance of the Stormers this season, 48-12 against them. Stormers can say they beat Scotland's national team. That could be the thing with the Stormers. They're playing in the wrong competition. They should be playing in the Six Nations.
Six Nations, mate.
So, yeah, I think Murrayfield, South Africans love playing there, either for the box or for Scotland, but they love playing there. And I've got the Bulls to win. And when I say win comfortably, I give it a 10-point margin. But win comfortably, I think their scrum will be a factor there. And then you've got big game players. I think Pollard's going to be the key to a Bulls victory here. And I think he's been outstanding in the calm he's brought. He can just see his trajectory is going the right way to being there when we play against England for the rugby's greatest rivalry, the three test matches in South Africa against the All Blacks. So I'm a huge fan of what Akazi's doing at the Bulls, and I'm a huge fan of the Bulls. I love to see a winning Bulls team. I love to see the north of South Africa strong and the south strong. I see Via Pieri Stormers and he blow Bulls sterker, so South Afrikaanse rugby sterk with our Japanese influence, our best players. We stick them offshore for a couple of years, rest the bodies, get the minds refreshed, and then they're very, very good. Looking at that elite URC 15 team, I was shown it just before we started the show. I believe there's lots of South Africans in there, bro.
Mate, surprisingly, there's only nine.
Out of 15, unacceptable.
Only 9 out of 15 South Africans. We've got Tuxum Kunu, we've got Johan Grobbelaar. Kubus Visa at 5 is an interesting choice. Evan Roos at 8, Ruan Fente at 7, Ambrose Papier, Sasha at 10. Kuen Horn at 15 and Vanna Kok at 14.
Well, who are the other six that have taken South African places?
I don't know. Maybe it's a glitch in the system there, mate. You've got Stuart McCloskey at 12, Stafford McDowell at outside centre, Carl Rowe at 11. You've got Kian Prendergast at 6, Murray at 4. And Thomas Clarkson at 3. Those are the non-South Africans, mate.
Thomas, how can anyone but a South African be a tight end?
Exactly, mate. I mean, well, exactly.
That amazes me that whenever you hear, and I hear it in Super Rugby, Six Nations, they always say, got to be the greatest tight end in world rugby. He's not a South African. He can't be. He just can't be. And then every time the box plan, they get and they destroy an opposition, say it's because of their tight end and their loose head and their hooker. Now, the one area that I would say a gimme is there's got to be a South African at tight end, whether it's Will Kolo, it's Netlin Foshier, who's been consistently dominant and destroyed scrums. Tuxie's there. You could put Oxenchair in there as well. So, yeah, lovely to see Vanna Kok there. He's now left Ulster. But, yeah, Kubus Visa is a surprise. I didn't think he'd be in at lock, you know. I thought,
yeah, especially at 5.
Yeah.
Especially at 5. You think, like, okay, Ruan Nokia. Yes. Or Ruben van Heerden. You'd think one of those guys would have featured there.
Yeah, that one surprises because Ruan Nokia has been without a doubt the best lock in this competition. Not just South African, the best lock
totally
forward.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it's the URC that have picked that team, not us. And nice to know that there was some form of statistical acknowledgement. Is this a team picked on stats?
I think it's got a relation to stats, playing time. I think if you've only played 2 games, even if you've scored 3 tries in each, maybe you don't make this lineup. So I think some playing time is factored into this. But there are some hell of a lot of form players. Ambrose Papier, obviously Sasha. Evan Roos was top try scorer. You got the 2 top try scorers in the compo in this team. So the stats must have been involved.
All right. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the URC. Stormers were going into the last league game against Cardiff. Win that, they end second. They host a quarterfinal. Always expect them to win that. They host a semifinal. Probably be Leinster. That's how we kind of our permutations are going. It looks like it's going to be Glasgow at the top. Bulls will end fourth. They'll go there. And to excuse the pun, but we're bullish to say Bulls will go and they'll win. And Stormers will beat Leinster in Cape Town. And we'll have an all South African final. Year 5 of the URC will be year 1 again. This time, no COVID restrictions. 55,000, not 34,000. Then the Stormers went and cocked it up in Cardiff, and they lost the right to a semi-final at home, and now they've got to get on a plane, and they've got to go to Dublin. Consistency is the name of the game, brother, and I said it 2 weeks ago, if you can't beat Cardiff on a carpet, you're not beating Leinster in Dublin. And what amazed me was people thought the Lions could do it. And they took 59-10 against the best team. The Stormers, I said to Dobbo, go well, my friend. Treat it as a Barbarians Week. Drink lots of Guinness. Make sure you misbehave. It's a long way to go to get pumped. I've got Leinster to take the Stormers and beat them to a pulp by 20 points. And it gives me no comfort to say that.
Mate, I spoke to Dobbo this morning. He said,
and he hasn't even arrived yet.
D-O-B-B-O, Dobbo, what's his name yet?
Now, look, I mean, the bookies have got Leinster as 13-point favourites. I don't think we can argue that the Stormers are favourites to win in Leinster. I firmly believe the Stormers can win in Dublin. I do think it is going to be an uphill battle. Leinster have a 90% win rate at home in the last three seasons. So I'm by no means saying that the Stormers are going to walk in there and put 20 points on them. But they are beatable. They can be beaten. And this Stormers team can beat them when this Stormers team plays to their ability. And I think that's the challenge. We've spoken before about playoffs rugby. You get to a World Cup, you only have to win X number of games in a row, whereas in a league, you have to be consistent over time. And I think we've got to the Final Four. There's two wins in it for the Stormers to be URC champions. That's the reality. And as much as the history definitely is a projection into the future, and you have to consider it, and your points are 100% valid, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that the Stormers can upset Leinster this week. And that's why I've got the Stormers to win, mate. I've got the Stormers to win by 3 points.
By three, you've gone away from your Stormers to win by six.
Well, mate, I had to factor in the travel.
So what you're saying is that you've halved your confidence.
I've had to factor in the travel.
You're 50% less confident of a Stormers win.
I hate it when you use stats, man. Stats lie.
Look, as Richie Beno, the wonderful cricket comedy, used to say, cricket is a funny old game. Anything can happen, and it usually does. So equally for rugby, it's not a round ball. It bounces very different ways. And with TMOs, referees, some guy just blinking and going down and putting in a high tackle that he shouldn't. Cards could play a factor in this. The one thing that the Stormers will know is they've got a very good pack. They've got a very good set piece. And their lineout has functioned fairly well. And as much as Sashi is without comparison in terms of what he brings at 10, Yuri Matia does provide a kind of comfort of, you know what you're going to get in a very settled way. You're not going to get anything flash, but you're going to get a guy with a low error rate. And when you play a side like Leinster, you can't have a high error rate because they do feed off an expansive team that kind of loses possession, is impatient. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility, as you say, that the Stormers could go there and trouble them. We saw La Rochelle do that in the Investec Champions Cup, and they relied on a penalty 3 minutes from the end to beat them. A Toulon side that the Stormers should have knocked over and felt they did knock over at the Stade Mayol. They were over the line to win that game. TMO disallowed the try. They were a pass away from beating Leinster, who got out to a big, big win. So if I'm putting a Stormers cap on and just my Dobbo glasses, those fashionably wonderful ones, and saying to the team, you can win if you see what those other teams have done here. But then I look at the realism around the moment, and I just think the pressure that Jock Nienaber's been under, in the sense of the abuse he's had to get from the media and from a big section of the fans, he's got a point to prove. And if anyone knows a South African team, it's Jacques Nienaber. And I just see him having one last hurrah here, knocking over the Stormers and kind of reminding Ireland of what they're going to lose when he leaves, because I'm convinced he's going to leave. And so I would love for the Stormers to win. It's the first time this season that I'm backing the Stormers to take a big one, because I have to be a realist as well. Ek moet rationaal wees. Sels. Die mense wil weet, wat dink u? Ek dink ons gaan 'n pak slaag kry. I think the score will be 38-21, 38-20, somewhere around there. You know, I've got 20 points as a differential, but it's going to be a comfortable win for Ireland's national team against a severely weakened Stormers team when you think of who's out. Sorry, Dubo.
So doomy, gloomy, man.
I'm not gloomy.
Now, look, I think in Yuri Mateer, if he starts at 10, I think the Stormers have probably got the best backup fly half in the URC. I don't think you can really argue against that. I think he's a fabulous, underrated player who adds massive value. And I think across the squad, there's guys that have put their hands up this season. I think the thing that's been missing is the consistency. So when we switch it on, then obviously unstoppable. And then we have some games where it doesn't seem to all come together. So I'm optimistic, mate. I feel like things are going to come together in this one. We're going to shock the world. And it's going to be an epic victory in Dublin, mate. Then we come home and we play the Bulls in Cape Town. I can't wait.
You know, and I'd like, oh, I share your enthusiasm. I love your confidence. I share your hope. But I just can't agree with you in this one. I'm saying they're going to get pumped, okay? But what irks me is that it didn't have to be like that, Zells. It didn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
I've seen that in movies.
Would they say that?
It didn't have to be like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. Ifs and buts, mate.
Yeah, if it was so...
If my uncle had wheels, he'd be a car.
But we were good. We were good. Why are we ending it? Well, if we were that good, we wouldn't end it.
Yeah.
And every time I kind of think I've dealt with that Cardiff league defeat, I see a comment from within the Stormers camp saying, we can shock the world. We can do it. We can do it on the road. You didn't have to go on the road. And we can't get that result back. But that, to me, was where the title was lost. That lack of desperation to knock over Cardiff. Just play the most conservative game and get out there with a one-point win. And when you look back on the Bull season, that last-minute win against, was the Scarlets? Polly kicked that penalty off. The try was disallowed. It was that ugly kind of win that could be, when you look back and you say, when did they win that title? It was that night they won it. When a game they could easily have lost. The Stormers, they'll look back on a season, top three, semi-final, on the surface, outstanding, given the injuries they've had, unavailabilities. They'll look back and say, wow, how did we cock that one up? And it still irks me, as you can hear.
I can tell, mate. I can tell.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel, I'm starting to feel the passion and the heat rise, and not for the right reasons.
Well, we felt that way a little bit about the Box, I suppose, when they lost to Ireland.
You know, I felt like that when the Box lost at Eden Park to the All Blacks. It's exactly that kind of one. And yes,
and what happened the next week, mate?
Yes, 43-10. It Come was wonderful. On. But they gave the All Blacks 14 points.
That's true.
And then they just left themselves too little time to win that game. And it was like, come on, guys. Oh, you know, how can you be disappointed with 24-17 at the Garden of Eden, Eden Park? But I was. And equally, I'm disappointed that Leinster aren't talking about travel fatigue. We're not having a good chat with Jacques Nienaber saying, listen, yeah, are you staying now? You're not going home because this is home again. And it could have been so different, mate.
Do you not think that that Leinster playing at home in the semi-final, in light of everything that's going on around the team and Jacques and the mumblings and the murmurings and them being ejected from the Champions Cup final, losing that final, do you not think that there's a measure of pressure on them in the sense that they're the favourites to win this one? They have a lot of questions, a lot of doubters to kind of respond to. As much as that can galvanise the team, don't you think, mate? You're just digging yourself deeper. I'm trying to bring you back to life.
Mate.
Do not think that those things can all contribute to a famous away win for the Stormers.
You sound like Cash Van Rooyen on the eve of the Lions playing against Cash.
Don't knock Cash, mate.
And,
nobody knocks
and
Cash.
We saw how much pressure they were, the burden of pressure at 59-10. They were really struggling to make 60 points in that game.
You can't compare those two things, man. I mean, that Lions team.
No, they
come on, mate.
They've got a 90% win record at home. And
you That's lie, mate.
You keep on reminding me of that. And if it was a foregone conclusion, there would be no point in playing. But it would take something really special from the Stormers or something really, really stupid from Leinster in terms of a couple of red cards, some guys not making it on the bus to the ground, for the Stormers to get this win. They're a good side, Leinster. No, we always say, oh,
they're the defending champs, mate. Of course they're
defending champs. They've got a 93 win record at home.
Yeah. Now they're proper.
Their awful season is going to be that they win the URC potentially and lose in the final to the to Bordeaux in the Vestic Champions Cup. I mean, that's not a bad season. We're raving about the Lions ending seventh. Connacht can't believe they ended eighth. And Cardiff are saying it's the greatest they've ever been, ending sixth. So the standards we set is like, well, Stormers, like, why didn't they end second or even first? They were in the position to do so. That's a great place to be in. Equally, Leinster are thinking, if we don't win the double every time, we've had a poor season. And that's the standard you want to aspire to. Bordeaux were even saying that in the top 14 now, they've ended sixth. They've got to win those playoffs because they want the double. So the greatest clubs in the world want to win, and they want to win every title. And Jacques Nienaber has been saying that all along. We have got a squad good enough to win both, but we still got to go out and win both. We've now lost the one final. We've got to win this other one. And you're defined by your results. I was fascinated by his press conference. I loved it. You know, I think he's really become his own man over there. Jacques Nienaber, he's really come out of the rusty kind of like shadow, as they were always coupled together throughout their careers. And we miss him. I want him back with a box. He'll add so much value. And I think he's done a fabulous job with Leinster. And they may find, if he's not there, that he was a bit of glue that they didn't think they needed, and that they fall apart a little bit quicker, because there has been a changing of the guard. And the youngsters coming through aren't quite where that other golden generation was. So huge respect for what they can do, Leinster. And I just don't feel the Stormers, as much as I adore them and love them, have the cattle to go there and win. I know you're laughing at me.
They have the cattle to go there and win, mate. I'm looking forward to a great game. It's going to be a good one, I think. I think we're going to get the best out of them this weekend. That's what I'm hoping for. I think on your point with Jacques, I think like he might be the right guy, but at the wrong time. Wasn't that Cornet's, Cornet's thing? You know, that kind of thing. I think Jacques is the right guy. I think obviously, I mean, I'm a believer in what he does, and I think he's a fantastic coach. But you have to have alignment. You know, you can't bring in a disruptor, no matter how quality he is, and then not give him the mandate to make the changes you need. So it might be that this is part of the pathway for Leinster getting a more sort of changing the way they play a little bit to be where they need to be. And for Jacques, his return to South Africa would be absolutely massive for the Box. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't think the Box win the next World Cup without him. I think he is essential to victory. And, him and Rusty have walked a long, long, long road together. So if the outcome of this is that Jacques ends up back in South Africa, I actually saw him at the Vida in Sea Point yesterday, so I think he is back in South Africa. Nah, teasing. But if he does end up back here, great for us, great for South African rugby, and let's see how Leinster fare without him.
If you had said he had seen him with Dobbo yesterday, I would not say, okay, I understand. Yeah, I mean, I think he's the growth that he's had since being there. And I mean, look, he walked into a culture that was very different to anything he knew. He walked into a club that had a coaching philosophy, a playing philosophy that's very different. And even when I chatted to him and spent a lovely 37 or 38 minutes chatting in the build-up to the semi-final against, the semi-final week against Toulon, but they still had to go and play against Benetton, and they actually lost that game. And he kept on saying, you don't have to lose to learn. Like, I prefer not to be 10 from 16. I prefer to be 16 from 16 in the season. But he just seems so at ease and content and kind of confident, because he's achieved everything. He's won back-to-back World Cups. He's won rugby championships. He's won a British and Irish Lions series in the most demanding circumstances. He doesn't have to prove to the world that he can coach. Winning the Champions Cup or the URC with Leinster doesn't define Jacques Nienaber. He's already had that accolade. He's got a gold medal, and he's got two of them from the World Cup with the Springboks, and he's got a Lions series win that can never be taken away from him. I think he comes back to South Africa so much more improved in terms of his holistic approach to life and to coaching. And I think the experience, he would tell you, has been incredible for him. I know he's popular with the players. He's popular within the rugby structures there. But as Bernard Jackman, the former Irish hooker and one of the more astute commentators and analysts and fair, has said, he doesn't believe Jacques Nienaber has got, he's been done a disservice within the framework by not being given the full reins and said, you take it and it's yours, win or lose. It's like, when is Leo Cullen the head coach and when is Jacques Nienaber the head coach? And a guy who comes in with that pedigree, you can't have two top chefs in one kitchen. Mm. And I think that may be at the heart of it, where they've had to placate the one and try and accommodate the other. They should have made a clean break and said, Jacques Nienaber is the head coach, and that's it. And we may have seen a different kind of mentality from fans and media towards him. But as Jacques said, he was called the devil. He called out the columnist. You call me the devil, and hey, you're probably going to get me fired because you guys fire me, not the CEO or the owner. And I thought it was a letter of resignation that he had put in.
Right, maybe it was.
And one that I gleefully accepted exactly. on behalf of South African rugby.
Exactly, exactly, mate, exactly. And it'd be great to have Jacques back. Let's see how he goes out there at Leinster. And hopefully the situation, whichever way, shape it's taken, works in the Stormers' favour this week. And it'll be absolutely amazing after having 9 South Africans in the Elite 15 to have 2 South African teams in a Cape Town final.
Final question. You've done a lot of analysis on Leinster. What makes them so difficult, especially playing at home with their full strength side?
Leinster are pretty good across all departments. Top 3 in attack, top 3 in defence, top 5 scrum, best line-out in the comp, great line-out contesting. And they're a very well-organised side. You don't really have players in there that are they've got standout players. They've got world-class players. But what I'm saying is they don't really rely on one guy to work magic. There's no Ma Nonu there that's crashing over the game line every time he gets the ball, and that's the secret to their success. They have incredible attacking systems. They're very, very slick in the way they play their game. High execution levels. South Africa kind of, Jacques, perfected the high execution at low error rate, low penalty rate on defense. And I think Leinster and Ireland have perfected the reverse of that. So the low error rate, low penalty rate on attack. And they're very, very efficient there. They put massive pressure on you. And I suppose because they're so good at attack, it takes a bit of the strain off their defense. Their defense is not put in precarious positions often. And it also kind of raises a bit of a red flag or a warning, a bit of a rattlesnake tail to opposing teams that want to kick on them, because you think when these guys have got the ball, they're very dangerous. So they are a very, very tough nut to crack. They are exceptional at home. And I think, the fact that their win rate drops when they're away from home, a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that they've experimented with selections and personnel in some of their away games. So they are going to be a tough opponent. And how they respond to this sort of crossroads that they're at is going to be telling.
But they'll still go down to the Stormers.
They are going to go down to the Stormers.
You heard it first from Zells. Goodbye.